Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There are new questions about the U.S. military's final drone strike before leaving Afghanistan. The Pentagon called this attack on August 29th a righteous strike against a man with suspected ties to the Islamic State. But investigations by several news outlets cast doubt on the official story, including whether the victim had anything to do with ISIS. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was asked by Representative Ilhan Omar if the strike mistakenly killed civilians.
That is being looked at very, very, very carefully by others in the administration so that we understand exactly what happened or what didn't happen. And no country on earth, no government takes more precautions to try to ensure that anyone other than the intended terrorist target is struck using a drone or by any other means.
Matthew Akins investigated this attack for the New York Times. He joins us from Kabul on a Skype line. Matthew, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so here's what we know that seems to be undisputed. Zamari Ahmadi was 43 years old. He worked for an American NGO, and he and a relative had applied for refugee settlement in the U.S. Can you start by telling us what the Pentagon says happened?
The U.S. military had said that they struck a target that was an ISIS facilitator and to prevent an imminent threat against the airport.
Okay, and how does that square with your reporting? Maybe first of all, whether there's any connection in your reporting to ISIS or being at an ISIS facility?
Well, I went to the site of the strike the day afterward, and it had taken place in the courtyard of a house, and I spoke to the family whose house it was. They were extremely grief-stricken. They told me they had just lost 10 members of their family, including 7 children. There was still human remains spattered around the courtyard, and a car had been struck, but took photographs, videos of the scene, and based on the expert analysis, there's no evidence that there was a larger secondary blast, as the military has repeatedly claimed. So that calls into question whether there could have been explosives in the car. And then, you know, based on a reporting that we did over the next 2 weeks, it seemed like this guy had a typical day at work at this NGO. You know, his colleagues and his family said he was driving around helping to deliver food to refugees, basically. So what the military may have interpreted from the drone feed as suspicious was just a normal day. We got camera footage from the office that showed him filling up some water jugs to put in the trunk of his car. And he was taking that home to his family because they had run out of water. There wasn't water deliveries after the collapse of the government. So we didn't find any link to ISIS.
So could this be one source of confusion here, that the Pentagon is saying that they thought he had some explosives in his vehicle and it actually was the water?
It's possible. They claim that they saw also a secondary blast, which, you know, doesn't seem to have been the case. The follow-on question is basically why they decided to take this strike in a crowded residential neighborhood, you know, where there was going to be a high, very high risk of civilian casualties. And in fact, 7 children were killed. So what was the imminent threat, even if it was some connection to ISIS?
Right. 10 casualties here. What do you know about how much visibility U.S. drones have into this? Is this something that the U.S. military should be able to see pretty clearly, whether there are a lot of humans there?
Well, again, what we've been told by officials was that the drone operator quickly scanned the area and only saw one other adult male. But again, this is a very densely packed residential neighborhood where the assumption should be that there is a high risk of civilian casualties. And we were told by the family that, you know, what happened when this guy came home from work every day, the kids who are at home, stuck at home, would run out and jump in the car with him and, you know, help him back it into the courtyard. And they did that day. And that explains why 7 children were killed in the strike.
Matthew, what else are you hearing from U.S. officials?
The Pentagon says that they're investigating. And typically in these cases, we have to wait for them to finish that investigation, which is classified. But then they will brief lawmakers and eventually release a redacted version. So we are waiting for their investigation, which they're undertaking.
Wow. And finally, Matthew, can I ask a little bit about the reaction in Afghanistan? This is not the first time there have been civilian deaths in Afghanistan in the past. It has been shown to be U.S. intelligence failures. This time around, what reaction are you sensing?
Yeah, I don't think Afghans are surprised by this kind of incident. But what is surprising, I think, for them perhaps is the level of detail and evidence that we've been able to gather in a short period, you know, including video footage. That's just not possible in most cases because these drone strikes happen in remote, insecure areas. And that's something really to bear in mind, that this is not an isolated incident. You know, even though the U.S. war in Afghanistan has ended, they've said they're going to continue an over-the-horizon counterterrorism capability, which means potentially more drone strikes in Afghanistan and elsewhere. So there's a risk that future incidents like this could happen. More innocent children could be killed by drone strikes if they continue.
Matthew Akins has been covering the August 29th drone strike in Afghanistan that killed one Afghan aid worker, two relatives, and seven children. Matthew, thanks for the time.
My pleasure.